Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, Pippa White.
Good morning, LaVon.
We're so happy to have you join us.
Pippa, thank you so much.
I know that this evening people can get, up close and personal in a way, come and see you. Tell us a bit about the event that's happening this evening in Elkhorn, Iowa.
Right. It's a program that I have actually done for a long, long time. It's called The Story of the Orphan Train. And I think it was your library that initially called me, because there are lots of books about the orphan trains, and they get a lot of attention. And your librarian heard of my program, and I think talked to the Museum of Danish America also, and thought that maybe the timing was right for a program about the orphan train. And the program I do, I'm a storyteller with a theater background, so it's not really a talk that I'm doing. It's a storytelling piece. I got true stories from a number of the orphan train riders who gave me permission to share their stories, and then I wove them all together in a program that looks at why there was this problem of all these homeless children on the East Coast, and what it was like to ride the train and start a new life in another part of the country.
Mm-hmm. So last Thursday evening, the library was crowded. The Elkhorn Public Library was crowded with folks on the first of these three programs, and we saw the documentary about orphan trains. So
excellent.
This, yes, and so this is just more information from more folks and presented in a different way. And again, you mentioned it is at the Museum of Danish America. Each of the three programs is at a different place. And next Thursday evening it will be at the Genealogy Center. So if people want to stay tuned, but this is pretty special, Pippa. I think because it's live. Because it's something that you really researched, it's going to be really special.
I hope it will be. And the stories really are very touching. You know, there's been a lot of historical fiction written about the orphan train, and they produce beautiful books. But I found the true personal stories to be so dramatic and touching that I thought this is the way to go.
Yes, and were those the people you interviewed, were they in Nebraska, or did you kind of go outside?
You know what, most of them I found in books, although I did attend a reunion in Arkansas at that time of orphan train riders, and a number of them there gave me permission to use their material. And when I started, most of the riders that I portray were alive, and of course that was 20 years ago, and now they have all departed, but I either contacted descendants, but actually 20 years ago, almost all of them, it was, you know, directly to that writer.
Well, that's so important, Pippa, that you got those stories from the people themselves, because as the stories get passed on to others, sometimes they get changed a bit. I'm sure you got and maybe they got changed a little bit from the actual participants, but much closer to. I'm guessing you felt, and they felt, you got a lot of emotion out of that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I guess what you're talking about is they were a primary source.
Yes, exactly.
Which is the way scholars like to refer to that. So, yeah, it was a real privilege to just sort of, you know, fall into this, and all the writers were so accommodating. I used PowerPoint slides in the presentation, and they all sent me their pictures when they were children, pictures when they finally got to their new homes. They were really so generous.
Great. And they have such stories to tell.
They do. This is a real case, yes. LaVon, where truth is stranger than fiction. I kid you not.
Yes, I think the documentary we saw just got us started down that path. I certainly learned some things from the documentary, and I know we're going to learn more things from you this evening, and we'll come back to that program in a little bit. But I want to find out more about you, Pippa White. I've heard your name. I know you've been in Cass County before, but how did you get started? When did you start being interested in being theater and those sorts
of
things?
Well, I was stage struck as even a very young child, and I lived on the West Coast, and so I did do a lot of work as a child and also as I grew up on television and theater. And then I married my husband, and he was offered a job at the University of Nebraska, and I thought it was going to be a short-term appointment, but it turned out to be a very long one.
Here you are.
And when I realized he wanted to stay in the Midwest, I thought, well, if I'm ever going to work again, I'm probably going to have to work alone. And so I began to develop these programs. And as a matter of fact, the Orphan Train, the story of the Orphan Train that I'm doing tonight, was the first one that I created. But it opened up to me the wonderful world of drama and story in history. And so since then, I have designed a good number of programs, all from historical events, you know, sort of oral histories. I take the oral histories from different historical events, and I then fashion them into these performance pieces. And it has served me very well. I perform at storytelling festivals sometimes, and libraries, and museums such as tonight, also sometimes even a performing arts center or a theater or a conference, you know. So it's really been a very exciting experience.
What are some of the other topics that you have developed, Pippa?
I have a program about Ellis Island and the immigrants who have their stories of what that experience was like. I have another called Far as the Eye Can See, which is about the people of the prairie, those who crossed it, those who settled it, those who lost it, meaning the Native Americans, and also the brave people of the Dust Bowl are included in that. I have another program about resistance fighters in World War II. That's kind of a dark one, but I like it. It's kind of dear to my heart because it's about brave people, and I like stories about courage. I've got others about nurses, Florence Nightingale, Clara Barton. I've got programs that are very good for Women's History Month because it's about, you know, some remarkable women, some that we know and some that probably most of us don't know, who made big and important contributions.
And then you also do some teaching, as I understand.
Yes, I was just at a residency in western Nebraska, working at a school there. I was also performing, but actually working with children on historical storytelling. So I do get a chance to work with others, and I always enjoy that. It's very stimulating.
Pippa, if a young person wanted to develop this kind of performance ability, is there any special training you think they should do, or what opportunities?
You know, that's very interesting. The storytelling world is full of a mix of people. Some come from the theater world, as I do, but many are librarians or former teachers. It's a very interesting mix. And as for you know, how they got there or what training they had, there are conferences. There's the National Storytelling Network. They have a wonderful conference every year, usually in Kansas City now. There are certainly ways to improve and get some training, but this renaissance of storytelling probably began in the 80s, and they say there are more solo performers now than ever before. And many of these storytellers just kind of, their careers just kind of happened. You know, they were a librarian who was really good at the storytelling hour, and all of a sudden she was getting requests to work elsewhere. So the people who have made this renaissance, I think many of them, it was trial and error was their training.
All right. And you mentioned when the storytelling really became out there more popular. It almost seems to me, and I could be wrong about this, that kind of went along with the heightened interest in researching our background in genealogy.
You know, I imagine there is truth to that. Now, at a storytelling festival, you will get a little bit of everything. You will get ethnic tales from all over the world. You will get history, such as I do. You will get a lot of storytellers who are very, very funny, and you'd have to say they are comic storytellers. And then there are people who do personal stories. But yes, I think you are right, because the personal stories have been very popular, and that does sort of connect with one's own past, you know, one's own history.
So, Pippa, if we want to know more about the things that you've done, the things that you are still doing, I believe you have a website.
I do. It's www.pippawhiteonecompany.com.
Have you done any writing?
Yes, yes. When I put these programs together, sometimes it requires quite a bit of writing, sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on how I tie the oral histories together. But tonight's program is about, oh, I'd say 30 or 35% my writing. And then sometimes if there's something I want to work with and yet I can't quite figure out the best way to present it as a one person, in other words, I want to go to narrative rather than first person, I often put a story into verse, and some of those have turned out to be some of my most successful pieces. So, you know, you sort of sit there with the blank page and you, you say a prayer and see what happens.
Well, we have an opportunity to meet you and see your performance this evening, 6:30 at the Museum of Danish America in Elkhorn, and learn more about the orphan trains. Thank you so much, Pippa. Look forward to seeing you this evening.
My pleasure and privilege. Thank you for thinking of me, Levon, and I'll look forward to meeting you.
Okay, until next time, here's the thought. Life isn't happening to you. Life is responding to you.